This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaoning here with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be discussing the causes of urban flooding with Dr. Tano Unja, who is a researcher at UKM, which is important because there's always an economic cost when there's any flooding. Now, though, we turn to global markets and how they performed overnight, because in US, markets were closed mixed. So the Dow closed up 0.6%, the S&P 500 closed up also 0.2%, but surprise, NASDAQ was the one that was down by 0.8%.
Yeah, in Asia, the Nikkei was up by 0.7%. In fact, the whole region is up. The Shanghai Comp is up by 0.2%, Hang Seng up by 2.3%, Singapore up by half a percentage point, and KLCI up by nearly half a percentage point.
And for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at the FS Group. Now, Jack, I want to talk about United Airlines because they released results yesterday saying that they will reduce the cash burn to just $25 million a day from $40 million a day, suggesting maybe perhaps they're turning around the corner. But is it way too early to buy aviation stocks?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, we don't exactly know what the first quarter of 2021 or the second quarter of 2022 is going to look like for these airlines. I mean, everybody's counting on a vaccine, but even when we get positive reports from vaccine, I mean, AstraZeneca was a perfect example. On Friday or Monday, we saw the tech stocks rally and the cyclicals like airlines and casinos and cruise liners actually fall. So I think airlines are a little bit too early at this point in time. You know, whether people are willing to travel is a big question, and whether we're going to get to those rates that we saw pre-COVID. So, you know, it's an interesting space. They're really struggling out of all the industries around the world, and we can see that by, you know, many airlines around the world becoming, you know, government-owned. You know, we saw Cathay Pacific, we saw Lufthansa in Germany. So it's good that they're getting their burn rate down, but this is a wait-and-see moment and certainly not an area that we are looking at or that I'm looking at personally.
Yeah, Jack, still stateside. Bank earnings have surprised on the upside, presumably due to the trading revenue and related to that. Beyond that, though, and beyond loan loss provisions, what's your sense of how the banking sector in America is going and into the year ahead?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks on the show, and I said that I was looking at the bank earnings. Now, the bank earnings were really good, but we need to really decipher what was good about them. I mean, you talk about JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, they had a cracker of a report because, you know, they were raising a lot of money for companies during the COVID period, you know, and they make a lot of money out of that. Spreads were wide. The trading desks were very good. The question is, what does it look like in third and fourth quarter? And I just want to quote Jamie Dimon in the recent report. You know, he said in a normal recession, unemployment goes up, delinquencies go up, charge-offs go up, home prices go down. None of that is true, Diamond said. Savings are up, incomes are up, home prices are up. So you will see the effect of this recession. You're just not going to see it right away because of all the stimulus. And we saw that from all the banks that reported, you know, from Citi to Wells, saying that we just can't work out. There's no model that can tell us what's going to happen in third and fourth quarter. And I think that's why you didn't see a rally in the banks. And in fact, you saw the banks sell off on the back of these reports. So I think maybe I was a little bit too early in trying to gauge what the real economy was going to look like because of the second quarter reporting from the banks, but I certainly see we're going to see some pain in third and fourth quarter from them.
Yeah, late in yesterday's trading sessions in America, the US share market, the tech stocks had a bit of a hiccup because I think there was commentary by Mitch McConnell that the stimulus bill won't be passed by next week, in contrast to what Steve Mnuchin said. But I think longer term, there still will be these stimulus checks being issued into the system, which means a further divide from the real economy. Jack, what does that mean for the share market? And do you think there's much more upside to the US tech scene as a result?
Well, I think if there's any upside, it's probably going to be US tech, regardless of whether we're going to get stimulus or not. I don't think you're going to get a massive stimulus plan from the US. I don't think you're going to see anything like the $2.2 trillion CARES Act that you saw pre-COVID. And the reason for that is we're going into an election over there. You know, no one wants to spend big before an election. They want to spend big during an election so they get re-elected. You know, and they're talking about, you know, these stimulus programs only being available for certain people under certain salaries. So I don't anticipate a massive big check written by the US government before the election, which means, you know, we'll probably get another hit in terms of what these companies are doing. But you've got to understand that this big tech rally is being driven by these growth companies that are showing incredible growth that are only increasing in this environment. So, you know, I think you're going to continue to see this divide between the mega or the market cap and the rest of the market. So, I'm still, I know I keep saying this, but I'm still bullish that that upper echelon of tech going forward.
And Jack, you know, it's a result season out in US, right? So staying in the tech space, I mean, what names are you looking out for? What are you particularly keen on?
I mean, we're going to see Microsoft report. I mean, they are trading at 36 or 36.7 times earning, but I think you're going to see their cloud business continue to grow. I mean, that is a big name. I'm really interested to see where Apple reports. I mean, out of all of the tech ones, you know, my biggest worry is Apple. You know, I think how many iPhones are they selling in this type of environment? But then I look at their service sector, which continues to grow year on year. I thought the Netflix report was quite good. I actually bought a little bit of Netflix on that drop after their earnings report, only because they're going to have considerable growth around the world. And they are the first place you go to now to consume content. And I think they're going to be the first place you go to consume content over the next, you know, 10 to 15 years if we talk about these big trends we're seeing in the way we consume and watch. So Netflix was a standout for me, even though it dropped off after the report, and that's something that I've continued to build up over time. You know, it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting scene that we're seeing right now. But from the big tech earnings, we haven't seen anything to disappoint currently.
And somewhat related to tech, you know, Ant, the world's largest unicorn and parent company of Alipay, they are planning to list in Shanghai and Hong Kong. Is this something you're excited about?
Yeah, it's very interesting to know that what you said there was they're planning to list in Shanghai and Hong Kong. So there's no US listing here. And this is the first of these big companies to kind of brush away a US listing. And I think this is the first of many that we're going to see. This continues, I think, the trend of the decoupling of US and China tech and the division along this great iron curtain that we're seeing. I think it gives us a few things to understand. One, that these Chinese companies no longer feel like they need to be in US markets to raise that capital. So I think it's a significant listing for a company that was valued at $150 billion in its last raising in 2018, of which, you know, Alibaba owns around 35% of. It's going to be great to look under that curtain and see what exactly this business does. But yeah, I'm very excited about it, and I'll be trying to get some ownership in the original IPO.
Yeah, Jack, I think this emerging narrative of de-dollarization is one of the themes behind Ant's Hong Kong and Shanghai listing. Does this kind of coincide with the amount of dollar-based reserves that I think has been tapering off from the Eastern Hemisphere, from China specifically? What do you think this spells for the dollar? I think much longer term, is this the end of the dollar as we know it?
No, not yet. I mean, look, the Chinese have always been upset. One of the biggest things the Chinese are always upset is the fact that, you know, the US has a US denominated currencies, you know, resources trade against it, and it has that advantage of being the world's reserve currency, and it can print that money. But, you know, if you want to talk about this polarizing world, you know, we talk about China, which is about now, you know, anywhere between 12 to 15% of GDP, yet only about world production or world spending is done about 2% in the yuan. So the US dollar is still the number one premier currency. I don't see that changing in any way, but I do see a continued decoupling of these two countries away from each other. You've got to remember that the China still has a shortage of US dollars. I know it does have $2 trillion in reserves, but when you compare that per capita, it's only about $2,000, and it still needs that to do business with the rest of the world. So, you know, I don't want to talk about real world conspiracies and $1, but I still see the world's reserve currency being the US. I see no change to that over the next, you know, 2 to 5 or even 10 years.
All right. Thank you for your time, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at the VFS Group, saying that the US dollar is here to stay for the moment. I mean, there's been a lot of talk whether that their reign as the world's number one currency will be removed, but it doesn't seem like it for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen overnight, right? But they are trying to do it, and you can see early salvos of this with a China-based listing of Ant. That's a $200 billion valuation.
I think it's more than just wanting to move away from the US dollar, right? So, we kind of saying that, hey, you know, this is the new area of growth. It's going to be Asia. Yeah. We're going to list our big companies in Hong Kong, Shanghai. Yes. We're going to shift that focus to this part. You know, why should we list in America? It's all an extension of that US-China trade war. war, isn't it?
It is. But it's also, I think even within the trade war, this whole internationalization of the Chinese yuan and the rise of China as a superpower as well is one thing that bears mentioning.
Yeah, but I think I don't know how long it will take before. I mean, one of which is like the Hong Kong dollar, for example. It's still pegged to the US dollar. It's not pegged to the Chinese yuan. I think in all our conversations so far, none of the experts think it's going to happen anytime soon. So the US dollar looks set to be here, even though I think there are many commentators who say the US dollar is going to go through a period of weakness because they're just printing money like there's no tomorrow.
Look, I mean, they're not doing themselves any favors, right? The US Treasury holdings, well, basically their balance sheet has expanded from $4 trillion to $6.5, maybe $7 trillion in the space of 3 months. That is the fastest pace of liquidity raising in history, right? Yeah. Look at what happened to the Zimbabwean dollar.
Yeah, but right? Currency, I'm not sure you can compare it. Currency is a question of confidence, right? It's a store of value. How much do you believe in the economy? How well is it going to do? So it's a relative game at the moment. Well, and I think US still is going to do better than Zimbabwe. But up next, we're going to look at urban flooding in Kuala Lumpur with Dr. Tanul Unjau of UKM. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.